may be listening to this through Moments website live. They need to go on the Hajj page of Moment on the same website. Go to the Hajj page and open the PowerPoint part 1. So we will be starting from that, and I'll give you some more directions. Just stay there. Sisters, you stay on the phone, and how many people are there right now? Does anyone has an idea? All right, we decide to salawat.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi al-tayyibin al-tahirin. Brothers and sisters, Hajj is a very comprehensive ibadat that involves all the other aspects of all the Islam, the political aspects of Islam, the ibadat of Islam, akhlaq, and different other obligations of Islam, all combined into one thing. Which means that, for example, if you are able to do your Hajj right, which means it would mean that basically you have had a crash course on everything in Islam. How much we are able to learn is a different thing. How much we are able to practice is a different thing. But everyone, man or woman, according to his own or her own level, will take some benefit out of it. So it will give you an overall experience of different aspects of Islam. So keeping that in mind, we have to basically look at different things. We have to look at the ahkam and manasik of Hajj. On a personal level, you want to make sure that you are doing your Hajj right, according to the laws of Islamic fiqh, you know, according to the fatwa of your marja taqleed. So you have to first of all know that I am doing the thing right, in the right way, proper way. That's on a very personal level, it's very important, and I think that's the primary task here. Today we are gathered here to learn the manasik of Hajj. However, there are several other things that need to be done before you go, and that need to be done over there, and similarly that are a kind of follow-up of that after you even come back. So I will be looking at all these other things along with the basically the manasik of Hajj. So basically the manasik are not the only thing we have to learn. We have, along with the manasik, we have some prerequisites of going to Hajj. If the prerequisites are not learned or practiced properly, it will create some problems when we are doing the Hajj. So I'm, by the grace of Allah and the support of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad alayhi Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, we'll be going through three parts of this presentation. And you are welcome to ask any question anytime, but I'll try to be very brief and you try to be brief also. I know that it's an interactive session, it's not a lecture, so basically the floor is open from now till the end. The only thing is several people have joined us on the phone, several people are with us right now through the website, so it's important that we don't move away from the subject, because they cannot join us in this discussion. I was expecting that someone will have another laptop to receive emails in questions and emails, and I would answer here. So since right now I don't see that as a possibility, so basically their questions will have to be addressed later on. So that's one limitation we have. We have another one. If you can get that other laptop, and you can go online on that, right? Internet. So that will be excellent. So we are. I think we are trying to make arrangements of another laptop here, so that if you have any questions, you can basically email the questions right away, and one of the brothers or sisters will read out the question, and we'll try to answer those questions also. It may take a few minutes, but anyways. So the first part of this presentation has to do with these topics here. If you read the contents, it says the meaning of the terms. As you know, different books have this glossary and all that. So from now, basically, you'll be dealing with a lot of vocabulary, and we have to get used to be familiar with this vocabulary and use that, because between the hajis, you'll have to communicate through those words. And for example, have you done your sa'i, have you done your this, have you done your that? So you'll be, when Hajj is over, you'll have learned hundreds of new words. That's my estimation. So okay, that's one part. Another is adab of Hajj. Adab is the ethical, spiritual, immoral prerequisites of Hajj, and etiquettes of Hajj. Then you have muqaddimat. Muqaddimat are the absolutely essential wajibat on you that you need to do before you go. Then there are actions of, we basically then enter the part which deals with umrah tamattu. And we'll talk about two different kinds of umrah in Islam. What is umrah and what are the two kinds of umrah? So we'll share the difference of that and the order of the sequence of things that need to be done during Umrah Tamattu. Literally speaking, Umrah means the parts of a building which are added later, after its completion. When you complete something, you add certain parts to it. Literally speaking, this is in the dictionary, the word Umrah would mean this. In Shariat, in the context of Hajj, basically it's a collective name. Umrah is a collective name for all the a'mal which a za'ir performs during the days of Hajj, before doing the acts of Hajj. So when you basically travel for Hajj, first you are doing an Umrah. Then after Umrah is finished, then there is some time you spend over there before Hajj. Then you start your Hajj. So it's in two parts basically. Umrah of this kind, which is done before the Hajj, is called Umrah Tamattu. Tamattu in Arabic means enjoyment. Since a person after doing that Umrah and before starting the Hajj, these days that he or she spends in Makkah, right, he can have a normal life, so you can enjoy in a way. That's why it's called Umrah Tamattu. You do the Umrah, then you are free. The prohibitions of Ihram are lifted until you put on the Ihram again for Hajj. Umrah Mufrada, that may come again, But it's given here also, Umrah Mufrada is the Umrah that people do just as an Umrah, without Hajj. For example, someone goes to Mecca in the month of Ramadan, you know, basically does his Umrah in Mecca, and without doing any Hajj after that. Of course, in Ramadan you don't have any Hajj. Just for one day you go do your Umrah and that's it. That's called Umrah Mufrada. So we have Umrah Tamattu and Umrah Mufrada. Now, Adab of Hajj. So before going to the actual Umrah, we have to learn a couple of things I mentioned earlier. One of them is Adab. Because Hajj is not just a physical journey, it's a change that's coming in the moral and spiritual life of a person. For that, a person needs to first of all do tawbah from whatever wrong has been done in the past. Repentance means nidamat, feeling sorry for whatever wrong a person has done. And feeling sorry is the essence of tawbah. You will not repent unless you feel sorry for something wrong that is done. We are all like that. The first step is nidamat. We feel, oh Allah, we have not lived our lives the way we should have. The way I should have. And you say, oh Allah, I'm sorry for this. I accept the responsibility for this. I admit my sins. Then you say, oh Allah, I am trying to learn what my obligation is and what I need to fix in my life. And basically from there you make a commitment. Oh Allah, help me live up to my commitment. Change my life, you know, live a better life. And perform these obligations that I have not performed before, or keep away from the prohibited things, haram things that I may have been doing. Whether they are, for example, legal things or hakam-i-shari, or they are akhlaqi, moral things like disobeying the parents or hurting someone or other things like that, or of any other kind. Those are things again we need to think and. To do a proper tawbah, basically a person needs to sit down and think all over again about, since he became or she became baligh, when did I start praying? How many years of salat I have missed? How many years of fasting I have missed, if any, right? Write it down really. 5 years or 10 years of salat I have not done, or I have done it wrong. Without taqleed, without learning about from a mujtahid or something. So we write it down. That's part of our islah. So then we add it up. For example, 5 years of salat, 5 years of fasting, or these obligations, something I broke from someone, all these things, you know, you write it down. Pay your dues. Yes.
If we're not sure, like, at all, then
if you are not sure how many salat is, yes. Now it's a very good question. Our mujtahid say that if you are not sure, but you are in doubt between maybe I missed 4 years of salat or maybe 5 years of salat, right? Maybe I missed these number of days of fasting or maybe that number of. This is the minimum, this is the maximum. So what you are sure of, you have to do. For example, the minimum number that you are sure of, that's your obligation. That means you make a commitment. Of course, there's just 2 weeks left to go to Hajj, and if you have to fast for 5 years, 10 years, you cannot do that in 10 days. But you make a commitment, you write it down, you say, okay, Allah, this is the fast I've missed. I accept this responsibility, inshallah, I plan to do that. Inshallah, I will do that, and you know, if you can, 1 or 2 days, you can fast, you can, you should, or you come back and do that. If similarly, you have doubt between whether my homes that I had to pay was $5,000 or $10,000. So you are sure about $5,000. So that's $5,000 you have to find a way to pay it. If you can pay it before going to Hajj, you do that. If you cannot, you have less money, you have $1,000 with you, $2,000 that you can give that and work out a solution with an alim. Because alim will give you a break. He say, okay, so many months you can pay it off in installments, but there is a way to settle this. So that you can travel the peace of mind that, okay, I know how much my obligation is, I know how to do it, you will come back inshallah and do it. Again, this is how Hajj helps us meet our obligations. If you cannot pay your dues, for example, you have borrowed something from someone, you get his consent. You say, okay, brother or sister, I owe you so many $1,000. I don't have it with me, but this is what I have. I'm giving you. Or if I don't have anything, I want you to give me I request you to give me some, breathing space, a few months' time or a year or so, so that inshallah when I come back, I can start paying you back. And he said, okay, it's okay. If he said, okay, I'm fine with that, and go ahead, do your Hajj. That's you have met your current obligation, but you have to do that when you come back, inshallah. Meet your relatives. Make silay rahim. A lot of people have broken their contacts with a lot of their relatives and friends and other people, especially relatives. Some people have problems with even their parents, brother, sister, close relatives, and they are not on talking terms. They have something happened and they break their contact. They say, okay, I'm not going to talk to you, something like that. You cannot go to Hajj with this kind of problem. It is very, very important that the Haji should be the person calling and saying, this is something happened between us, and I understand, I feel that, I should, before going to Hajj, I should ask you to, either forgive me or, talk to me or something. Talk to that person. Open a channel of communication and try to work out a compromise or a solution or something. Sila Rahim, establishing Sila, connection between the Rahim, between the relatives. And same may be true for other Mu'mineen and Mu'minas who are not your relatives. Perhaps something happened with another person and you have a way of communicating, so let's do that. Again, this is mustahab before leaving to do a ghusl for Hajj, before leaving, and a 2 rakat salat before departure, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you a tawfiq to really do Hajj and bring you back safely, inshallah. Yes.
For the ghusl, is there any only near the ihram, or is there any special way of doing the ghusl for Muslim person?
The ghusl is the same, the way other ghusls are done, ghusl janabat, ghusl whatever. So you make the niyat, I'm going for Hajj, oh Allah, I'm doing this ghusl before leaving for Hajj, it's mustahab, qurbatan lillah, wash your head and your neck, the right side of your body and the left side of your body. And see if there's any book that says any dua or something you want to read. Some books have duas for this. But again, it is it's the mustahab thing, you do that. Do not rely on your money, belongings, your strength, friends, youth. That's a very important point. Some people have problems doing their Hajj with other people. People in their caravan, organizers, the hotel management, bus drivers, God knows what. Sometimes they have arguments with other people. Now, one reason was that they thought they had made everything ready and this is going to work out exactly there as they have planned. And once you step at the airport of Jeddah, you will see that no, things cannot happen the way you planned them. Because you just look around and you see this huge crowd over there moving in different directions with different timings and plans and different things. So there are huge challenges for every caravan to basically meet all the targets and goals and deadlines. It's very, very hard, very, very tough. And Abdullah Maulana Beg has sent you all the Hajj schedule, and I'm not sure if all of you are going in the same caravan or there some of you are going on other caravans also, but from the schedule that was announced for Caravan 72, December 6th is the departure from US, then December 7th is arrival in Saudi Arabia, and basically December 27th you are back in US, inshallah. So one problem happens is that you rely on the arrangements you have made or your caravan has made. Or you look at, you know, okay, I'm physically fit, I have the money I need, I have this, I have that. And that's where the problem starts. When you start relying on the resources you have, then something goes wrong. Either from those resources that you have or from someone else, you were trusting too much. It is not in our hands. None of it. The Hajj basically involves so much. Luggage gets lost. You know, so many people lose their luggage. You know, their valuables are lost. Somebody bought a video camera, new. He just opened the box and moments later it was stolen. You know, because he was sleeping in Muzdalifah next to me. And he woke up with me next morning, he was gone. So, you know, and again, this is a test of patience. You know, a lot of things like you miss your bus, something happens, your flight, you know. Again, there are things you do to make sure that your flights are confirmed and all that, so you do those things as best as you can. But at the same time, do not rely on all the things that you have or on your friends, for example, you know, because of course everyone has limitations. Of course, an alim who, and I understand this caravan has an alim, Maulana Beg is there. I don't know if there are any other alim also in this caravan. I don't think so. So you see, there's a huge responsibility on one person. It's probably more than one person can handle. So you'll have to really be very careful that you do not expect too much from one person. Last year we were there, we were 70 people in this caravan, Maulana Beg. I was there, Maulana Beg was there. He was handling the part related to organization and all that, and I was the one handling the manasik and teaching the ahkam and all that. And still it was hard. But this year I think it's not such a big group, it's probably 40 something. So hopefully, inshallah, it won't be that hard, like the same, but still, you know, a lot of you will have to help the organizers, Maulana, at times, and have your own initiative to learn ahkam. You know, go and check and ask. And if you have doubt, for example, you know, and frankly speaking, even Maulana, myself, we are human beings. Sometimes we learn something and it may not be accurately understood. So it happened last year that one of the sisters, I told some ahkam, and one of them I mentioned the way I understood it from the book, and she took her own initiative, went to the office of Ayatollah Khamenei and asked the question, and then came back and said, I found out this the answer is not this. You know, they were, I was round the clock, I was checking in the detailed books, you know, on ahkam of all the maraji taqleed on every issue, and it's quite possible something, you know, a mistake was made somewhere. So I knew that on time. She told me this, and it was dinner time, we stood and said, corrected myself, this is not the rule, this is the rule. So you have to have your own initiative also. Don't just rely because everything is being told in the dars. No, it's sometimes some of the rules are really, really hard to understand because the possibilities are so many. So choose right company, observe their rights. Alhamdulillah, you have chosen a very good caravan. So you have done that part, Alhamdulillah. All you have to do is observe the rights of other people. For example, you have to get on the bus, okay? Some people just get on the bus and get their own place and forget about the other people. There are old people, there are the women, there are children, other things. We have to always be conscious of this. Perhaps that part of Hajj carries more sawab than just circling around the Kaaba, excuse me. That part we need to be conscious of. Because, you know, if you are even doing the tawaf, in the middle of tawaf, someone comes and asks for help. Brother, I'm feeling, you know, I'm not feeling well, I need your help, can you take me to that place? You can help that person. Our mujtahid said, you can help that, even while you are doing your tawaf, you can help. And resume your tawaf or start from the beginning. But I'm saying, the importance of our moral responsibilities should not be underestimated. It's very important. If we are doing this, our caravan will be like one group, working as one team, you know, this caravan, inshallah. Be respectful, tolerant. Yes. It's on the video also? Alright. For those who are listening on...
Yes, introduce yourselves, please. those on the conference call, you, if you have introduced yourself,
Assalamu alaikum, inshallah. My name is Arif Sayyid, and I'm here from Dallas, and I'm going by myself, inshallah.
My name is Rehan Sayyid. I'm from Houston, and I'm going with my wife. We are two going for the first time.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Amin. I'm from Dallas and going first time, inshallah. So please pray for me. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. Mustafa Hussain from Dallas, and we'll be going with my wife Subuhi, inshallah, with Caravan 72 for Hajj.
Assalamu alaikum. Name is Siraj Razvi. Inshallah, I'll be going with my wife Naseem.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Asim Mathani. I'm here from Dallas. I will be going for Hajj for the first time, inshallah, with my wife, Tasneem.
Some of those things are, you know, again, they're not supposed to be sold, but a person is not sure about that. Whatever it is, you know, Hajj again changes our lifestyle. Has to. If we are doing our Hajj right, we have. Homes payment is very important. The most essential part that you have to take care of homes is the ihram you are wearing and the flip flops or whatever it is. You know, these things. Mohur that you are using should be bought with halal money and homes made, paid, you know. So, for example, if you go there and you buy ihram for 50 or 40 dirhams or something, so that money, put the homes of that separate. For example, if you have not paid homes of anything else, make the payment of homes of the ihram. Otherwise, Hajj is gone. So this is most basic. But the Hajj trip, the whole trip should be homes paid. And even better is that everything is settled, all homes accounts are settled before going to Hajj.
What if someone is buying the ihram for us, they don't know the money, they're just giving it up?
Well, it's hadiya, it's fine. So you don't know, if you are sure they have not paid their homes, you pay your homes here before you go.
Yeah.
But if you are in doubt about whether they've earned halal money or not, in terms of, you know, some haram business or something, music, I don't know, something else, you know. So that would be a problem. Don't use that.
Malana, if you are not to lay down on your homes, and then the money you are going to Hajj with is being earned after your homes have been paid for...
Okay,
yes,
repeat
yeah.
That. I missed something.
Okay. You are up to date on your homes. Mm-hmm. And the money for your Hajj is earned in the new year, like maybe 2 months back.
Mm-hmm.
So the homes has not been the wajib yet, because your homes date has not been.
It will come after the Hajj.
Yes.
Yeah, right now it's okay. You don't have to pay now. The last year's pay, the homes is all paid and clear.
Yes.
Then it's fine, no problem.
One more answer, we can buy the ihram from that person, whoever is bringing, because if that's the only source to bring the ihram, we can pay them the whole money of the ihram?
Yeah, if you see, generally, if you are not sure, you know, if a Muslim is buying or making ihram for you and you're using it, you can accept it, no problem. If you know there's something haram going on, haram source or something, then there's a problem. Now, this other thing is that you're not sure whether khums is paid or not. So you pay the khums. That's what I said. You should be sure that the khums of your ihram is paid. Otherwise, the hajj is not right, you know. Islamic will, you make a will and write down, you know, what your assets, where do they go. Because, I mean, we look at our personal safety and things like that. On the other hand, spiritually, I mean, there's, you know, a person, if he passes away, dies during Hajj, the great reward of that, you know, Allah accepts it. This is basically a guest of Allah and all that. In that circumstance, everything else has to be taken care of, you know, assets and all. Will is very important, especially for going to Hajj, one should have a will ready. Make a short will if you can, and then use some, you know, template of the, you know, Hajj, Islamic will is available on Muslim Congress website. You can just print it out from there. It's all there. MuslimCongress.org. Islamic will is there, just print it out. And the least you can do is, if you can fill out all those places, excellent. What you have, what you own, what you dues or borrowings, whatever it is. The least you can do is just sign the will and go. Don't just go without a will. Sign a will so that somebody can take care of it in your place. Alright? Yeah.
Do you keep a copy of your will when you're traveling?
Copy of the will? Yeah, why not?
It's recommended?
No, I can't say it. I mean, you know, some hadith say that, you know, when a person, Muslim, sleeps, he should have his will right under his pillow. So, as a istihbab, a person wants to keep that, it's better. Because maybe your circumstance changes and you own more, you know, or you have to make some changes on your will, you should be able to do that. It's okay. But generally, having a will, leaving behind a will, it's good, very good. Dues, debts to other, I explained that earlier. Radde mazalim.
Excuse me, Mulana, I'm going to go back to the dues. So, if you have some credit card debt, you have a car loan, and you are making regular payments.
Well, we are talking about dues, debt to others, meaning that someone is demanding you to pay. You know, so that's the due you have to take care of. Debts of that nature. But credit cards and other things, you keep paying all the time. You come back and you continue to do mortgage payments, other payments. So, what is due right now? You know, Radd mazalim. Radd means to return. Mazalim means hukuk. Mazalim means sometimes it also applies to something wrong a person has done to another person. So that may not be money. That may be some hurt. One has caused. Someone has hurt someone, you know. But compensation of these things should be given. Or making up for it. Or make the payment for it. Those are, in general, one should know that Allah will hold me accountable if I don't take care of all these obligations. So, yeah, make a, you know, like, even before I was baligh, I think, you know, I was 10 years old, I broke something, a glass, or I, you know, whatever. Write it down and try to find that person, at least if you can, or send them a message or do something, or at least have a record of this and say astaghfar to you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and start trying to, you know, make amends for all these things. Now we come to Umrah Tamattu, and here we will have to start looking at these notes. These notes were translated from Arabic. And I found them very comprehensive, so basically I always give it every year to the Hajis. It explains the manasik of Hajj in the same order that you will be traveling. You will be going to Jeddah first, and after Jeddah you will go to Medina. Stay in Medina for probably a week or so, and from there you go to for your ihram to Masjid al-Shajara and then to Makkah. This is how our groups generally go. So they don't go to Makkah first. So this is how it's arranged, Medina first. And Umrah al-Tamattu starts with the ihram. So we have these are the five things we do for Umrah al-Tamattu. You do ihram, tawaf of Kaaba, two rakat salat of tawaf, sa'i between Safa and Marwa, and taqsir. If you know, if there was more than one session, we would go into the spiritual aspects of these things. Because some of these have to do with, or most of Hajj have to do with the life and teachings of Hazrat Ibrahim a.s. So it's very important that a person should have a perspective and an understanding of the philosophy and also the spiritual benefits it has for a person. So, ihram, in this regard, there is a hadith from a detailed discussion between Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salatu wasalam and a person called Shibli, who had gone to perform his Hajj, and he returned to the Imam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I did my Hajj. And Imam started asking him questions. You did this? He said yes. Then Imam asked him another question regarding the same action. When you were doing this, were you thinking this way? You know, did you make this niyat? Or did you have this understanding when you were doing this? And he said no. So Imam asked him several questions one by one. And this person always said no. Physically he did those actions. But mentally, spiritually, he was totally absent from Hajj. He had no understanding why he was doing all those things. So Imam said, you have not done your Hajj. You must go back and do your Hajj again. Because of lack of understanding of why you were doing your Hajj was not complete. You have to go back and do your Hajj again. So I would highly recommend that you all go over that hadith before you go read it. And in fact, keep a copy. Now, this hadith is available on this website, mymoment.org. Hadith between hadith of Mamzal Labdin al-Islam with Shibli. It's available on mymoment.org. Go to the Hajj page. Just print it out over there. If you don't find it, you give me a call and I'll just email it to you. And I didn't want to miss out this important thing that the spiritual understanding of Hajj is highly important. That's what keeps our focus right during all the problems you go through in Hajj. Hardships, you know, problems with people, problems with whatever happens, you know, inconvenience, you're tired, hungry, all cold weather, you know, at night you will be having, you know, staying out in the cold, or sleeping in cold weather, person getting sick, all these are normal things that happen. But if their perspective is right, that these are things which are part of life, Allah has compressed them all in these 20 days for me to understand what is it, why these things happen, and how am I supposed to deal with these things. And if a person can do his Hajj right in those 20 days, which is very hard, if he can take care of all these aspects of Hajj on his first trip, I would say this person already has a complete life. This person has everything going right. Hajj is for us to open our eyes. We see our weaknesses, we see our defects. So it's normal. When you go to Hajj and you see, you know, face those challenges and you see the problems over there, so let's not be disappointed with ourselves also. We say, okay, we made this mistake and Allah will forgive me, let me correct myself and learn from it and go from there. Alright? So, yes, Allah is forgiving, person makes mistakes, but the idea is to learn from it so that Hajj, you know, it becomes a training exercise for us. So with that, from Ihram, and I said that because in Ihram also Imam alayhi salam mentions very important details of when you take off your sewn clothes and you put on the Ihram, you know, did you take off the garments of sin and put on the garment of Ibadat, in obedience to Allah, or not? This person, he heard this and he was shocked. He said, no. I mean, this one answer of Imam basically turned everything around. open another door to say that, what is my perception of Hajj? Am I here to put on this ihram and circle around this walls and this you know, Kaaba? Or am I here for obedience to change my life? And that will come when I truly have that deeper understanding of each and every action I'm doing. So to keep the focus right, always we have to think and we have to read those things and listen and deal with people in a manner that, you know, Islam wants from us. Respectful, humble, and always serving other people. Tawaf of Kaaba. So if you go to these notes, you will see that Umrah Tamattu, the ihram part has a ghusl of ihram, which is mustahab. For ihram of Umrah Tamattu, you will have now left Medina, which means a week of ziyarat, a week of really good spiritual upliftment. You would feel very good after a week you have spent in Medina. In fact, you won't be very happy leaving Medina, but anyways, you will go to Masjid al-Shajara. That's where the Holy Prophet of Islam sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is where Aima alayhi salam, all our Imams, they did Hajj because they used to live in Medina. They all did their Ihram through that Masjid al-Shajara. Right? So that's how significant that place is. You go there, and there's a huge mosque that's extended, and there's a site for men, there's another site for women, there are bathrooms, there are showers, everything is there. So if you go there, if you can quickly take a shower, it's, you know, there's usually warm water there, just take a ghusl ihram, and if you don't have enough time, just put on the ihram and make the niyat, and niyat will be done in a group, together. So putting on the ihram is not the niyat of ihram. What you do is basically you go there, you take off your normal clothes and put on the ihram, for men I'm saying. Women basically, that you cannot wear abrasion, silk or jewelry, and we'll come to that. But otherwise, normal clothes. But it's recommended to wear white, so that basically, those, you know, ihram. For men, I'm saying that, you change your clothes, you make sure that you have not used anything with perfume on it. Anything, any soap which has a scent, don't use it when you are putting on this ihram. Okay? So even before you put on the ihram, you should not be using any soap with scent or anything like that. You should be fully prepared, because all you need to do is make a niyat and say the labbaik, and then you are in ihram. All those 24 or 25, 24 restrictions apply right when you make the niyat. Everything is now there. You have to follow all those rules. So you should be really ready for it. And how it is done is, after you do your ghusl and wuzu and put on the ihram, you go inside the masjid, all people stand together on men's side, so there's men only right now. And the Maulana will basically, in a group, say, okay, make this niyat and say the bait with me. And that's the old Qadim part of that masjid, and he asks you to move with him around the different parts of the masjid for ihtiyat. And then come out and go to the women's entrance over there and make the same, because mujtahid generally allow, to make the niyat of ihram even outside the masjid. But women, you all also go inside, and you will similar, just like when you're in a group, you say a talbiyah, the bait inside the masjid in the same way. So what do you say over there? See, it says two things here. Putting on the ihram and then making the niyat of ihram. Putting on the ihram, this niyat is not needed. I just wrote it down to give you a concept. But what is needed is niyat of ihram. Because putting on the ihram is just putting on two towels, right? Or whatever it is. But the ihram is the ibadat, which is a pillar of Umrah Tamattu, which is this niyat, which is D here, making the niyat of ihram. I enter the state of ihram for Umrah Tamattu, for Hajj Tamattu, Hajj of Islam, as an obligation, qurbat lillah, nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Main halat ihram mein dakhil ho raha hoon, ya ho rahi hoon, Umrah Tamattu ki khatir, Umrah Hajj Tamattu ke liye, Hajj Islam, wajib qurbatan ilallah. This is the niyat. So it is, see, this niyat has several parts. I'm doing this action, whatever action that is. Right now it is ihram. Why am I doing it? It's part of umrah tamattu. What kind of umrah tamattu is? Of course, umrah tamattu leads to hajj tamattu. Now what kind of hajj tamattu is this? Is it my first one or second one? If it's first one, this is my hajj Islam. The hajj which is wajib once in a lifetime. That's called hajj Islam. Hajjatul Islam. Right? So that's how you do. Let's sit there together just to memorize this or remember this. I enter the state of ihram for umrah tamattu, for hajj tamattu, hajj of Islam as an obligation, which means wajib, for nearness to Allah, qurbatan ilallah ta'ala. So every action, umrah or hajj, you will have to basically repeat this. And you know, as you do one action to another, the first part changes. When you finish your umrah, the first part will go away. Umrah tamattu will finish. You only say, I'm doing, for example, ihram for hajj tamattu, hajj Islam, wajib qurbatan ilallah. If you are doing, for example, sa'i of hajj tamattu, umrah is finished, now you are doing your hajj, you say, I'm doing sa'i, 7 courses between Safa and Marwa, for hajj tamattu, hajj Islam, wajib qurbatan ilallah. Now this is when you are doing your first hajj for yourself. You have not done your hajj before, and it's your own hajj, you are not doing it for someone else. Maybe it's the first time you are going, but you are not doing hajj for yourself. Someone else gave you the money, go and do hajj for me. You said, fine, I'll do it for you, and I'll also get the experience of hajj, right? So if it's not your hajj, then it's not hajj al-Islam. Or if it is, again, you have to see if the mujtahid allows, if you can do for a 90-year-old person who is sick in deathbed, for example, he says, go and do for hajj for me. Is it allowed or not? Generally, it is not. For a living person, you cannot, who can, you know, go himself. A sick person, yes, sometimes you say, okay, do it for me. Ulama, if they allow, fine. I have to check this rule, which alim allows what. So, for example, if you are doing it for another person, and person has passed away, deceased mu'min or mu'mina, you are doing it for your great-grandfather or someone else, he didn't do his hajj or she didn't do his hajj, you do the niyat of, I'm not putting on ihram. I'm entering the spiritual state of ihram. Ihram means forbidding upon myself those 24 things. Ihram, making haram upon myself several things, which are hunting, I don't know, sexual relations, all those, contracting marriage, using perfume, all those other things. So I'm entering the state of ihram for umrah tamattu, hajj tamattu, right? Niyabatan, as a niyabat for so-and-so. Is anyone doing a niyabat this year? All of you are going for your own hajj? Okay. Now I need someone to tell me how we make the niyat of ihram. Yes.
It can be either in English or
Arabic. Tell me, Urdu mein batayin, practice.
We can say it in Arabic or English.
Urdu, English, Arabic, whatever your language is.
Okay.
You don't have to be in any particular language. In fact, you don't have to verbalize it, you don't have to say it. Knowing that. मैं हालत से इहराम में दाखिल हो रही हूँ, हो रहा हूँ, किसके लिए? उम्र तमत्तो के, हज तमत्तो के लिए, ठीक है, हज इस्लाम वाजिब कुर्बतन इलल्लाह, बस ये आप नियत दे, इसकी आदत आप डाल लें, क्योंकि हर अमल में आपको इसी तरह से नियत करनी होगी. बात चीजें लोग समझते हैं कि ये तो इबादत क्या हुई, इसमें नियत की क्या जरूरत है. मसलन आप अभी उस पर जाएंगे, देखिए, when you go to, after you do it, ihram, you have to go to, from Masjid al-Shajara, you proceed to Makkah. Now it takes several hours to get there. You'll be traveling at night. When you get to Makkah, it'll be an hour before Fajr. So you'll go to your hotel, put the luggage there, leave it over there, and say, okay, just leave it quickly in your room, get a wudu and come back and get on the bus, or maybe just if it's closed, just walk. So you'll go to Haram straight, and over there basically your second pillar, which is Tawaf of Kaaba, you'll have to do a Tawaf of Kaaba. The Umrah is Ihram, and then Tawaf of Kaaba, followed by Salat of Tawaf, and then Sa'i between Safa and Marwa, followed by Taqsir. Taqsir is shortening the, clipping your nail, or trimming your hair, or both. The niyat of Umrah Tamattu. Okay? I mean, of course, but you should be conscious that it's an ibadat. And it has effects. The spiritual effects, of course. But one important effect is that this taqsir, this clipping your nails, will bring you out of ihram. Mm. So all those things which were not allowed become halal on you just because you cut your nails. Right? So you have to have niyat of coming out of ihram. This is called taqsir. So tawaf. So these, before we go to tawaf, let's see, this is Masjid al-Shajara. On this new picture. So, Ihram makes all these things haram. Hunting wild animals. Hunting animals actually is haram all the time in the haram area. And when I say haram area, it basically means, I have this small map here. Haram, limits of haram are defined. See, haram looks like a, you know, these precious stones, some of them have these shapes or something. It's not a square, it's not a rectangle. So, they say that, it's in the riwayat, that when the Yaqut came from paradise, and it was shining, the light went to this region, whole region. Now this region, this is Makkah, alright? This is Muzdalifa, and you see this box here, little box, this is Arafat. So we'll be talking about a little bit, this Haram area. Hunting is not allowed in this area any time in the year. And carrying arms is never allowed in this area. Alright? If you want to look at this map just for reference. Because some people are not clear about what is haram. We don't want to know what is this haram, they talk about haram all the time. You see signboards in the street, you come across, it says haram, welcome to haram. Okay, this is haram. Where else is haram? Where it ends? So you just have a clear idea.
Malana, there are no animals there anymore, right?
Well, some people are not exactly human beings over there, but anyways, yeah, not exactly, you don't see any animals. من خدمت شما هستم ولی الان بخوام فارسی حرف بزنم این بقیه میمونم. اردو هم حرف نمیتونم بزنم چون تلفنی خیلی الان گوش میدن و شما دیگه باید مترجم بگیرید.
کدوم مسکرم
بله؟ شما بعدا میتونید بیایید من براتون توضیح میدم تا اونجایی که شما فعلا ترجمه کنید تا اونجایی که میتونید بعدا بیایید پیش من زنگ بزنید من شما رو من دارید زنگ بزنید alright see these 24 things are haram we have to go over these very important having sexual intercourse kissing, caressing, amorously looking at the opposite sex. these things are, this is not allowed, and there is a huge penalty for some of these things. Now, let me tell you exactly what things have penalty, kafara, and what things don't. So you have to know, there is a camel of kafara for sexual intercourse. Using fragrant things, whether it's a perfume, or it's saffron, zafran, you know, if you smell it. Now, eating is different. Eating, the ulama say don't eat Some say it's okay to eat if you don't smell. Now if you hold your nose and eat something that smells good, so fine. But you have to check before you do that. So generally food, you know, the kind of food you eat should not have a lot of, you know, perfume. If you use fragrant things, if you use perfume, one sheep, etiyadevaja, one sheep for using perfume, all right, which includes soap which has perfume. So buy a soap which is odorless, all right, shampoo odorless, or just forget about these things for 2 days, 3 days, not use any of those things if you're not sure, for example, this thing, does it have a perfume in it or not? Some things they call odorless and they smell, you know, they have a perfume in it. So, wearing sewn clothes, one sheep, shaving the head, one sheep, covering the head for men, one sheep, walking in the shade for men, one sheep, etyadivaja, clipping all the fingernails, one sheep, clipping all the toenails, one sheep, clipping less than 10 nails, give one mud of food to the poor, which is 750 grams of food. Uprooting a tree in the vicinity of haram, one cow. Uprooting a small tree in the vicinity of haram, one sheep. Cutting off a part of a tree in the vicinity of haram, give its price to the poor. 3 or more times swearing by Allah on a matter that is true, one sheep. Qasam khana jo hai ihram ki halat mein mana. Now some of these things probably not make sense to you. Well, who is going to uproot a tree? But you are not conscious and you pick a plant or, you know, do something. Remember, every action, one has to be careful, right? Don't cover your head. Cover your head, one sheep, okay? Using perfume, one sheep. Just imagine if someone did all of these and came back. Yes.
For shade, so if you are entering Masjid al-Haram, I'm sure that there's a gate, so there's a wall. So you are going, you are just walking through.
No, what is forbidden is to carry a shade inside the area where you are staying. You should not carry an umbrella in the sun, you know. That's why you travel at night when you go, you know, from traveling. Now, see, carrying a shade of two kinds. One, you carry umbrella, you're walking. Or you're in a caravan, you're sitting in a car with the shade on it. That, even that you can't do in daytime. None of the mujtahids allow. That's why you travel at night. And at night also, our Sistani, our Khamenei, they say, if you are sitting in the shade at night, to avoid rain, it's not allowed. To avoid cold weather, it's not allowed. So, you have to know why you are sitting in the shade. You're sitting in the shade, that's the arrangement that has been made. You know, and if you are not sure, one sheep, okay, give, you will be sure. Okay, there are certain things which are not allowed, but they don't have, again, no, these are the same ones that have, see, 18 of these 24 have kafara, so I didn't finish. 14, swearing by Allah once on a matter that is false, one sheep, swearing by Allah twice on a matter that is false, one cow. Swearing by Allah 3 times on a matter that is false, one camel. Extracting teeth, one sheep. Removing hair from both armpits, one sheep. Removing hair from one armpit, one sheep. Removing hair of the head, one sheep. You cannot shave your head, remove hair, cut hair during ihram. None of that. You cannot even do this and make hair come out of your beard or something, you know. You cannot scratch your head hard to make the hair fall. Kafar. Okay? There was thing clipping the
hair. After the hair falls?
Shaving the hair.
If the hair falls accidentally, how much is the
kafar? Yeah, I was checking that. I saw that, but I forgot. Looking at the mirror. Yeah. Removing the hair. It's forbidden during. See, if it's unintentionally, it is not forbidden, no kafara. Unintentionally, hair falls, no kafara. If you cannot avoid it, it is okay. Right? For example, eyelashes are irritating your eye and you have to remove it, otherwise it keep on irritating you. That's allowed, you can remove it. If you pass your hand over your head or face, right, when, for example, other than wuzu or ghusl, and one hair falls because of this, ihtiyat-e wajib, you give handful of food as sadaqah. And Ayahuya Sistani says, you must give a handful of food, must. Yeah, if it's done intentionally, without other than wuzu and ghusl. You are not doing, you do ghusl and wuzu and hair comes out, it's different. But other than these two, you have to give.
Now, all this kafara has to be paid while in...
Over there, yeah, over there, right there. And find out over there, give it to the offices of Maraji Tafriq. Ashistani has an office, Fazil Lankarani, they all have offices there. Khamenei has. You'll be visiting the office of Khamenei, you'll really enjoy that. It's a huge place in both in Makkah and Medina. Baisa of Maqam-e-Muazzam al-Rahbari, they call it Baisa, the representative office of Ayatollah Khamenei. It's the biggest office. It has seminars for a week. When you will be in Makkah, you'll be attending those seminars. And it will be one of those really enjoyable moments. There's lunch every day given for everyone. You go there in the morning, attend the seminar. It's translated on headphones. You attend that, listen to, meet those ulama, you know, from across the world, Shia ulama. And then have lunch over there and go to your other activities. So that's something you won't miss. Should not miss. Alright. So these are the prohibited things. Now some of these say M and some of these say F. You know what that means, right?
Yeah, male and female.
Alright. Those are only for men or only for women? Okay. Wajibat of tawaf. Niyat of tawaf. I perform tawaf, now you know how to make the niyat. The action defined first. I perform tawaf around the Kaaba, 7 rounds, for Umrah Tamattu, Hajj Tamattu. Hajj of Islam, again something is missing here. It should be Umrah Tamattu, Hajj Tamattu, add that over here. Hajj Tamattu, Hajj of Islam, as a religious obligation for nearness to Allah. Wujuban Qurbatan Allah, Wajib Qurbatan Allah. So these are the necessary things. One, niyat. Two, Taharat. See, Hadas-e-Akbar, Taharat of Hadas-e-Akbar. Which basically means you should be pak from Janabat, Hayz, Nifas, pak from whatever breaks your wuzu. So you should have done your ghusl and your wuzu in basically in shape, right? See, certain things are allowed in Salat which are not allowed in Tawaf. For example, there's blood on your cloth, you know, the wounds are bleeding something, but it's just this much. Less than, what do you call it?
Thumbnail.
Yeah, thumbnail, okay? Now, less than this much is exempted in Salat, but it's not exempted in Tawaf. If you see it's bleeding, forget it. Go wash, start again. Simple. Some ulama says better not to break your Tawaf, details of that. You can check if you want to follow exactly as your mustahid said. But all of them say, see, some of them say it's makruh. You break your tawaf for some reason, without a reason. Without a reason you break your tawaf, it is makruh, but it's not haram. Something happens, you turn around all the way, you know. In tawaf you have to keep your left shoulder to Khana Kaaba. And you're walking and somebody dragged you, pushed you, something, you fell down, you turned all the way around, you know. Either you go back a little bit and restart, because you didn't do it intentionally, right? But if you move the head and you cannot go back, what do you do now? Either you,
all the way around,
get to the same point, resume. Now this is you know the answer for this. Now it was something I didn't know the answer for, like bleeding or something, you know. You don't know what to do about this. You broke your wuzu in the middle of tawaf. Now by the time you go and make a wuzu, where do you go to make a wuzu? You have to go out of Masjid because there's no washroom, restroom inside Masjid al-Haram anymore. Even Zamzam, they have closed. You cannot go underneath to see the actual place. They have brought water outside, it's available where you are. So water is everywhere, Zamzam water is everywhere. but the well they used to give is to go downstairs. Whatever reasons they've closed that part, they wanted to extend because it becomes so congested. The crowd, the Zamzam area, the stairs used to go where it used to go down, it used to block the traffic off, you know. So probably for this reason. So do a wuzu and come back. You know the ruling, apply. If you don't know, restart your. Now ulama say wait a little bit before you restart, so that the muwalat is broken. You know, there's no connection. Basically, wait a few minutes more and then start your tawaf all over again. It's okay. You can restart. Question. If you are pushed, see you. They pushed you. You fell, for example, or you turned this way back on your Kaaba. Now you have to go back same place in that crowd. If you can go back, fine.
So you do have to redo that.
Yes. 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 And I was saying that if you could not do it, what do you do?
Oh.
So that's anyway. You know, these. I'm talking about so many things right now, right? And some of you probably think that there's so much detail in it. And now, you don't have to memorize all this right now. But just keep hearing, you know. Keep it in your mind, somewhere in the back of your mind, there are some issues like that. And anytime you come across something that you don't know about, you know, okay, this is a genuine concern. This question makes sense. It's not trivial. It's not that something I ignore. I can go and ask the mullah. Okay? Anything about tahara, I don't know, for ladies, for men, different things happen about taharat, and they need to be open about those. Go ask Maulana. Maulana has an answer, he can give you. No, go to the another alim, if you're not in the caravan, go to the office of Mujtahid, or Maulana will find it out for you. Have an open kind of communication.
What if someone pushes and they change the direction and they just fell in the same direction, he's facing over an arm. You just fell down and get up and...
That's fine, as long as you didn't turn me back on Kaaba or face the Kaaba. Just fell down and just get up and keep going. So, again, you know, this is from best of my understanding. So, you know, anything happens for which you are unsure, ask. Because while you are there, you can make up for it, you know, for anything you did wrong. One brother, during Sa'i was taking 3 hours. And this year also perhaps 2.5 hours, 3 hours, you have to be on your feet, walking in the crowd, basically walking or just standing sometimes. The crowd is just stuck for 15 minutes. You're just standing there. That kind of crowd. So he got tired of walking and walking and walking. He went to Marwa area. He was too tired. He didn't know the ruling. He went out of the Marwa area and stretched his legs and went to sleep. Woke up after an hour or half an hour or something, and he said, okay, oh, I didn't finish my Sa'i, let me go back in. Went back in, continued. And then he did another Tawaf Nisa after that, so he spent several hours in all this, came back to the hotel and said, he was just mentioning, he said, you went out of the Sa'i area. If you wanted to rest, you should have rested inside Marwa. You left the Sa'i area, Mas'a they call it. You have to go do it again. So you have to do Sa'i again and Tawaf al-Nisa again. So, you know, just be aware of. Taharat is needed. Taharat of body and clothes. Covering private parts, circumcision for men. Now, essential elements of Tawaf. Commencing at the Hajar al-Aswad. Don't have a big map here, so this is Khana Kaaba, of course, and this is Hajar al-Aswad. This is where your Tawaf begins. Whenever you want to do Tawaf, whether Wajib or Mustahab, Tawaf begins at Hajar al-Aswad. There is a line on the ground, there is a green light on this side of Hajar al-Aswad, on the building. Mm-hmm. If you cannot see where the line is, look at the green, you get ready for it, make your niyat, okay, tawaf, I'm doing starting with about 7 rounds around Kaaba for Umrah Tamattu, Hajj Tamattu, Hajj Islam, Wajib Qurbat Hajj Allah. And basically, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, you pass over that line, you are in Tawaf. That line is where it goes straight to Hajar al-Aswad. So you don't have to go next to Hajar al-Aswad. That line goes all the way to the end. Now, when the Ahl Sunnah brothers and sisters, they do their Tawaf, they on every round they pass from Hajar al-Aswad, they actually turn towards Kaaba and say, oh, Allahu Akbar, like this, you know. Those who are near, they try to touch it. Those who are far away, this is Allahu Akbar or Salam or something to Hajar al-Aswad, they face. You don't face Khane Kaaba. You just say, Allahu Akbar, like this, you know. Just keep walking. Don't turn towards Kaaba during Tawaf. Anytime during Tawaf. So, you turn. See, there's a circle drawn. What is the circle? Circle is about Maqam Ibrahim. For example, you hold a compass like this and turn, make a circle from Maqam Ibrahim all the way around Kaaba. You see, the space shrinks close to Hijra Ismail. Hijra Ismail is where, who is buried?
The mother of
Hazrat Hajra and Hazrat Ismail. And several other prophets are buried inside this area. So, you cannot enter this part, although it's closed now. But even if it's open, you cannot take a shortcut and say, okay, let me cut short and make a round quick. No? You have to go outside. But the area shrinks. Imam Khomeini was very particular about it. Imam Khomeini said, you must do your tawaf inside this area. For example, this. There's no such circle on the floor. But this imaginary circle around Khane Kaaba, which starts from Maqam Ibrahim and comes back to it, Imam Khomeini is required people, you must do tawaf inside. Other ulama also say you have to do inside, but if the crowd is too much, you know, you cannot get in, then it's okay, as long as you are connected through the crowd to Khane Kaaba. So people, you know, all the way up to Kaaba. Not like empty space, no, go and get inside, go inside. The best way to do that is take an extra round before you do the tawaf. I mean, when you go to the tawaf, you know, don't rush. I mean, you are walking with the crowd and you're trying to get in inner circle. Get in until you walk around along with the people, try to get inner circle. Go and keep going in and all the way. And in fact, you may be surprised that you may have to go through a lot of people. But once you get close to Kaaba, that's the fastest tawaf and the easiest. If you can really get right next to Kaaba, that's the fastest way to do your tawaf. Because the farther away from Kaaba you are, the longer it takes, you really get tired with sun, a really hot day, or whatever, lot of people, all that. So it's always advisable. You have to really make an effort, couple of you together, and really go through the traffic, get inside, really close to Kaaba. You will see your tawaf will be done in 15 minutes, 20 minutes.
So it's basically like Maqam Ibrahim and Hajj Ismail, you have to do it like outside of Hajj Ismail and inside of Maqam, like between.
Inside Maqam Ibrahim and outside Hajj Ismail. So this area, now, don't exert yourself too much, don't, for example, it's not wajib to do that. As long as you are trying, you know, don't hurt anyone, don't push, hey, I have to be inside Maqam Ibrahim. I mean, you know, there's too much crowd. If you want to do your tawaf inside, then take an extra round. Instead of pushing people or getting pushed, get in the real inner circle. And then make the niyat when you get to Hajar al-Aswad, then start your tawaf. You see, you'll be done in 20 minutes. But again, to get there is hard. But you have to cut through the whole crowd. But people do that. I did it at least once like this, and it was so easy. Very easy. Alright.
You have to, for some reason, go out. You have to do 7 rounds.
Sorry?
You have to do 7 rounds, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
3 rounds, and then for some reason, go out.
No, I mean, like your shaykh. right in there, if it's a valid reason, you have to, you have to go.
Remember how much circles you did and do it again, or all over again, or just the remaining?
Rulings are different and possibilities are different. Some ulama say if it's before 3.5, if it's after 3.5, different ruling. Some say before 4 circles are finished, something happens, or after 4 circles. So every alim, possibilities, ulama, ruling, all this is different. And in any particular scenario, you have to put it on paper, ask the ulama, this is what happened to me, this is what went wrong, and I want to make sure it done the right thing. So if you learn about these, want to learn about these, sit down with ulama, again, there's a lot of detail here. And you have to put it down on paper, otherwise you'll forget yourself. I don't know, was that 3rd circle or 4th circle? Was it about the wuzu breaking, or was it about some other reason? So you have to know exactly what the issue is, what the masala is.
You mean over there, to Maulana, whoever is going to
be here? Yes, Maulana, take him
today. Prior to the time, because at that time you didn't have time
to ask. Yeah, but I said in general, it is not haram to break your tawaf. If something happens, you restart your tawaf, it's fine. If you have to, wait a little bit, give it a few minutes, and then start your tawaf. Not just immediately, but a few minutes, Again, it's also recommended. You, for example, you want to restart your tawaf, something went wrong, you restart your tawaf, this is niyat, okay, I'm doing i'ada, I'm doing my tawaf all over again. You go to the same point, start your tawaf. I read in the Masail somewhere, many says that, give a little break. If something happens, you restart your tawaf, give a little break, a few minutes, wait, and then start your new tawaf. And generally, if something happened, you have to give a break anyway. You have to do your wuzu maybe, or something else, Or you got too exhausted and just couldn't walk. So in that situation also, you have to see, are you able to walk now or not, and what happens in that situation. Some very sick people or very old people, they cannot walk in that crowd at all. They are allowed by ulama to walk on the 2nd floor, you have to see, the 2nd floor should not be higher than the Kaaba. That's the condition of Sistani, Khamenei, all places. As long as the 2nd floor of Masjid al-Haram is not above the level of Kaaba, you can do tawaf. If you are sick or very old and you just cannot manage, you cannot manage that crowd, you cannot move in that crowd, it's okay, you can go over there. That's
it.
I don't even remember that. I learned that several times and I always mix up because so much detail in that, and I actually made a chart, whole chart out of that. I may have it somewhere, but so I don't want to give you a wrong answer. So commencing the tawaf at Hajar al-Aswad, ending each round at the Hajar al-Aswad, Kaaba should be on his or her left while doing the tawaf. Hijra is, see, left says, technically, it's not like being very, very highly accurate, all the time watching my eye. It's not that. Because, when you're walking parallel to a wall, it's possible. But when you're turning, you can't be 100% sure, Yeah, you're turning, maybe a little bit, oh God, what happened now? Don't have this waswasa or confusion in your mind, Like they say, paranoid or something. No, it's just keep walking, and as long as your left shoulder is towards Kaaba, this is it.
Basically, you will be going like two clockwise.
Would that be, yes, and I go, that's right, and I clockwise, counterclockwise.
And the heart has to be
aligned with the house of Allah, yes. Tawaf should be performed between Kaaba and Maqam Ibrahim on all sides. Of course, the difference of opinion, I said, especially if there's a crowd, you're allowed to go outside also, and that's okay. But you try to be with the crowd, not like there's a space and you are just unnecessarily outside. Must not touch or have contact with any part of Kaaba. Now, why is that so? It's because Kaaba has, they call it Shah's Rawan. See this? Doesn't show here. Shah's Rawan, this protected area. on the at the bottom. This is called Shahzaravan. So when you walk around Kaaba, do not put your hand on the wall, because that projected area outside is also part of Kaaba, considered. So if your hand is on the wall, or you are sticking to the wall and walking along, you are doing tawaf inside Kaaba. You should be doing tawaf outside Kaaba, right? So that's why they say that projected area is part of Kaaba, so stay away from that. Touching is fine, usually they say, but sticking to the wall is not. Okay. Tawaf should consist of 7 rounds, no more, no less. Muwalat is necessary. It should be continuity between the rounds. You must be a little tired now, so it's not a very long discussion. And we are hungry also.
You want to do a 5-minute break?
Yeah, we can, definitely. If you want. Because if they're making the food ready, and they should be ready any time. If it's ready, then we'll take a break. So we'll have a break with the food and then come back.
It hasn't come yet.
Let's pray we get food quickly.
Inshallah.
All right.
Most important thing in Hajj.
Essential elements of Tawaf prayer. Tawaf prayer is like any 2-rakat Fajr, you know, Fajr prayer. And you don't have to say it loudly. It's recommended to say it loudly. And I would say, you know, with a normal voice, read it so that you can hear yourself. So that if there's a problem with your qira'at, you fix it. You know, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So you hear yourself. Check each one of you, check your qira'at with Mawlana. Take time, sit down with him and say, okay, Mawlana, this is my salat, I want to pray, offer this salat for you. Some people just suffice with saying, okay, I read my salat to Mawlana, that's enough. Actually, do a salat in front of Mawlana. Or if, you know, some sister who is good at religious laws, you know, have that sister, okay, watch you when you pray. Complete prayer, sajda, ruku, everything, and qira'at. Qira'at, you go and check. Mawlana will listen to your qira'at and write it down, and correct this part, that part. If you are not sure about your qira'at, or the Mawlana says your qira'at is not correct, and even after practicing you can't fix that problem, it sounds like, doesn't sound like Arabic, sounds like Urdu or English or French or something, Mawlana will have to assign another naib for you to pray for your salat for you. So you'll do your salat tawaf, and another person will do the salat tawaf for you to make sure that your salat was done right. So you will do it anyways, another person will also do it for you. For you means on behalf of you. Salat tawaf. What would be the niyat of salat tawaf? I'm doing salat tawaf for Umrah Tamattu, Hajj Tamattu, Hajj Islam, Wajib, Qurbanat Allah. Okay? Correct recitation, Salat at the back of Maqam Ibrahim, as close as possible. Each sentence I read, several things come to my mind, I don't know. Describe all the details. Find out the ruling about, see the, it is required that you do your Salat at Tawaf right behind Maqam Ibrahim. Here, as these people are doing. You do your Salat al-Tawaf like this. Ideally, and in fact, this is the ruling. This is what you have to do. But you will not be able to do it. In that crowd, there's no way you can do it like this. Try it. It's so crowded, you can't even imagine doing it like this. The choices are, either you move back, facing the Kaaba, move back, you know, and you see that this crowd just doesn't let you do your salat. And where the people are doing their salat is a long distance behind Maqam Ibrahim. Whether your mujtahid allows that or not. Because I was looking at the Hakam of Sistani, he said if you cannot find space behind Maqam Ibrahim close enough, then instead of keep going behind, you must go to the side of Maqam Ibrahim and do it. As close as you get. So if the side means not exactly this way, because the crowd won't allow you, but perhaps, you know, instead of going like this, if you stand here, somewhere, you know, on this side, or that side of Maqam Ibrahim, as long as you are facing Kaaba, of course, so as Sani says, do that. Baba Khamenei Imam Khomeini says, go behind, stay behind, even if it's farther away. So make sure.
Mulana, again, in your own personal experience, what time of day is where there is a little bit less crowd?
3 o'clock at night? 2 o'clock at night?
Okay.
Or some say after Fajr, right after Fajr is a good time. Yeah. And actually, you know, depending on how close to the days of Hajj you are, if you do Umrah a week before that, and at night time, when you'll be doing Umrah, the Tawaf of Umrah Tamattu, right after Fajr prayer. So you'll leave your luggage in the hotel, go to Masjid al-Haram, do the Fajr with the Jamaat. Because there won't be enough time to start your Tawaf there. Right after Fajr is over, you'll start doing the Tawaf. Okay, Tawaf will, depending on the crowd, it may take an hour or more, how close to Kaaba you are, all that. And then you have to see the crowd over there. Right after Tawaf, you do your Salat of Tawaf. You cannot give any break between these two. Right after you finish your Tawaf, you start your Turakat Salat, and all the... Alright. Next is the Sa'i. Again, reminds me of the... Yes?
The prayer has to be read aloud, or like the Fajr prayer, or like the Zohar prayer, I mean.
Like Fajr.
Like Fajr.
Turakat Salat. Turakat Salat.
I mean, read aloud like we did in Fajr. Or read like we
yes.
Can listen.
Yes, not very loud, but you can hear yourself. Yeah. And anytime you have doubt about these things, ask Maulana again. What I said, was that about Hamsmani, Asistani, what was that? Ask. Okay? Because rulings may be different, you may not remember exactly. This. Because once you do your Umrah Tamattu, you'll be good. Because your Hajj becomes 80% things you would have learned, you won't have that much. Only the first time you are going for Umrah Tamattu, Tawaf of Hajj and all, it will sound difficult. So many things to take care of. But once this Umrah, which takes just 3-4 hours, maybe even less, depending on the crowd. Umrah is finished, you are very relaxed, you feel good about what you have done, you have learned so much. Your Hajj, that part of Hajj which has to do with Makkah is all clear to you. You have nothing to worry about. All you have to do is just repeat those things you did before. Larger crowd, yes, but rulings are clear to you. You know how to do it. You have checked your qiraat. You have taken care of all the things.
Maybe this should be like doing completely
quietly
the namaz.
Yes, yes. Yeah. How you do your fajr or zohar asr even, same way because they are all people now that. Then answer your question. I just remember while you were speaking that I didn't put on the ihram to show. Can you come here? There are two parts of the ihram. There's a rida and there's a lung, they call it, izar, I think they call it. The lower part is called izar. So the RF is demonstrating. There are several ways of putting on ihram. Do you know how to? One of the ways is this. Hold it somewhat tight over here and then a little bit. Okay. Go back. So this is this place in the middle, go back all the way here. Then here, alright? Now he's going to cry. There's some issues about ihram and the belt and all that I'll discuss with you. Okay. So now okay, now for safety of things you are carrying, And on that, you know, you turn one more time, like this. All again, all over again. So that you turn the whole belt around one more time. This will, this won't go off, you know, and the crowd, you know, from all directions are pulling you, pushing you. This is one whole time more.
Oh,
this
yeah.
is how it will hold it, you know. On both shoulders. Ahle Sunnat, they don't put it like this. I think on the left side they keep one shoulder open. Some say it's because this side is facing Kaaba, or some they own their logic or whatever. It is not allowed to do it this way. Shia people, they must cover both their shoulders. In the Hadith and Aima, they should do this. It's, you must cover yourself. No knots, don't tie a knot. You know, between the rida or the izar or whatever, any long, you know, no knots allowed. And some, most mujtahids don't even allow a safety pin or something, some allow, again you have to check with your, you know. So basically you have to all the time take care of it. You should not take it off. You should not take off this part during ihram. Unless you have to go washroom or something, that's okay. You are going to washroom, restroom, you know, just take it off, put it over the door or whatever, and then put it on again. You cannot just put it aside for no reason. Okay? Keep it on all the time. Now, what I was discussing was, this belt that you wear inside, you know, is it, first question, is it allowed to wear a belt on ihram or not? Is it allowed to wear a belt that is sewn, or it should, it could depend on here. This belt that I'm showing you, it has no stitches on it. No stitches. And no stitches on it. कहीं भी इसमें धागा नहीं है, कहीं सिलाई नहीं है इसमें. पूरा ये जो है स्टेपल्स लग किए हुए हैं इसमें. तो दिस इज सेकंड यस 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 दिस ऑल ओवर द प्लेस. जस्ट मेक श्योर व्हेन यू बाय अ बेल्ट, लुक, शुड नॉट हैव एनी स्टिचेस ऑन इट. सम मस्टर्स अलाउ द स्टिचेस, सम डोंट. अगेन इफ यू वांट टू बी कॉशियस, केयरफुल, जस्ट बाय अगेन राइट साइज शुड फिट योर साइज. डिफरेंट बेल्ट्स हैव डिफरेंट साइजेस. एंड depending on what size you want, because some people want to have their valuables inside, money or whatever. So can you wear a belt? Yes, you can, if it's to carry your money or hold the belongings or whatever. Don't use the niyat of using the belt is not to hold the ihram. The niyat of using the belt is to carry valuables, money, whatever. For that reason, you wear the belt. Okay? No stitches, and of course, it's a material. This one way of putting on the ihram, there some people do it another way, other ways also.
Can you make a knot? Can you make a knot on the
knot part? No. And the general ruling is this, but some mujtahid may allow, but generally not. I was only checking last night. Do not tie any knots on, you know. Yes, it says gire sadan libas ihram. Putting a tying a knot on the libas ihram. It's allowed. Imam Khomeini says it's allowed, although it's ihtiyat-e-mustahab.